I'm Lawrence C. Connolly, and I got started in science fiction in the early 1980s.
I'm Christopher Connolly, and I have been an illustrator and designer for basically all my life. I created a story, an IP of Minutemen prior to COVID.
This is the first episode of a series about Minutemen. Today, we've got a double dose of creative genius. Brothers Lawrence and Christopher Connolly are joining us to talk about their wild new collaboration, Minutemen, Execute and Run. Lawrence is a Bram Stoker nominated author whose work has been adopted by Mike Garris for Nightmare Cinema. Praised as intense and fast-moving as a Tarantino movie and published everywhere from the Magazine of Fantasy and Science Fiction to The Twilight Zone, when he's not writing eco-thrillers or adapting Frankenstein for the stage, he's apparently dreaming up the most diabolical premise in superhero fiction. Picture this, Wounded Warrior gets a second chance through cutting-edge biotech, but their powers last exactly 60 seconds. Then, pain and incapacitation. It's like being a superhero with the world's worst warranty. That's the concept Christopher developed, and together with Lawrence and Academy Award-winning producer Jonathan Sanger, they are bringing it from page to screen. It's military science fiction meets gaming meets medical thriller with a ticking clock that makes every second count. So buckle up, because we're about to talk superpowers, brotherhood, and what happens when you've only got a minute to save the world. Hey, Lawrence and Christopher, welcome to Sci-Fi Thoughts.
Hello, Lancer. Great to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, well, awesome. And I'm so thankful that somehow, Christopher, you've blown me away. You actually held to a schedule while you're driving LA traffic. This is not heard of. I'm blown away.
No, it's not exactly easy, that's for sure.
Wow.
Time travel helps every time.
Teleporting.
Yeah.
Now, I have this question about the genesis of your collaboration together. So, Christopher, you developed the original concept for Minutemen, and Lawrence, you brought it to life on the page. Can you walk us through how this collaboration worked?
Sure. Chris, you were working on this for a while before I got involved. Would you like to start it off and then lead it up to the point where I came in, and then I'll take it from there? How about that?
Yeah, let me do that. Larry is a writer, well-established writer. I write on my own free time. I love to write. I am also an illustrator and designer. So I've thought of some other projects in the past, and I thought I could bring them to fruition, but I thought with this one, I wanted to do it on my own, and I purposely hadn't told Larry for probably maybe a year, maybe longer, maybe 2 years. But he heard it through the grapevine, through our family, other members in the family. He finally approached me one day and asked if he could take a look at it, and I was absolutely sure. But I was really honored, because when he saw what I had in the form of a graphic novel, the first time he and I met, I guess you could say I kind of pitched to him, or gave it up to him, and just let him take a look at it. He read through it, looked at it, thought, Chris, you really have something here. This is lightning in a bottle. So I was very humbled, and he asked very politely, may I join you on this? I said, come on for the ride, because I need you. And I gave him the rundown. I had also already written, and it probably was about 275 pages of the story. So I had it all outlined and everything, but seeing that I'm not a true writer, I say that, you know, maybe I'd like to think I am, but I had this all thought out, but Larry put it all together and brought in his flair and also took things and ran with it as well. So it's a great collaboration and how we're working together. Yeah, so that's when I met with Larry on a second time later down the line, And Larry, you can take it from there. How'd that?
Yeah. I was speaking at a science fiction convention, and Chris dropped by, and he had this portfolio with him. And we went up the street to a bistro, and he opened the portfolio, and he spread out all these pictures on the bistro table. And he had the character sketches, and he had some basic concepts all ready to go. And the most important element of it, of course, was these 60-second bursts of superpower, which really drive the story. And at this point, I decided that there's something definitely going on here. And Chris had so many ideas, more ideas than you could fit into a dozen films or a dozen novels. And as we know, as storytellers, what we need to do is find that one idea that really drives the story, stick with it, put it into a streamlined plot, and have some interesting characters. And coming up with the characters was a lot of fun because I had these sketches to work with, and I was able to flesh them out in ways that I thought would serve the plot. So my work really was to find the through line, the thing that would work in the course of a story, that would have the characters go through development as they face certain obstacles to get to a fixed goal. And putting that together first in a screenplay, which I wrote on spec, because Chris by then had already begun to make contacts with people in the film business who were interested in the project. And then when the project got delayed because of COVID and because of the writer's strike and because of the fires in LA and also because of a general downturn in filmmaking, I decided that I would put it together as a novel. And I wrote the novel, and my agent was able to place it with Arc Manor, Sazek Science Fiction. And that's the book that we have out now. That came out October 14th. And it is the book that is going to be releasing on audiobook, I imagine, by the time probably it'll be out when this podcast drops. The audiobook is being released on November 24th, and that's where we are now. It's been a great collaboration. We've had great fun.
And Larry's correct. What I had originally was a big budget idea, and I thought we could just pitch this and go straight to film. Well, anyway. But the beauty of it is there's so much in here, as Larry said. There's a lot of content. The characters are rich. It's deep. There's so many different directions we can go with this. So it falls in line with what I really wanted, and that was a franchise project. I wanted to have a legacy project, something that can live on and on, even past us. I mean, so that's why I think we have that kind of content. Don't you believe that, Larry?
I do. I think so.
Cool. That's awesome. And I noticed that when Christopher was talking about, he intentionally didn't tell you too early. Tell me about that. What's going on there?
Larry's a writer, and I wanted to show him. Larry, the funny story, I got a funny story for you. Larry once said to me a long time ago, he came to me, and I was already writing, but he said, "Chris, you should do comic books." And I thought that was a slap in the face. I thought, keep making your pretty little pictures, Chris, and I'll write. Well, anyway, later on, as time goes on, and I ran a marketing and design firm for a long time, and I started thinking to myself, Larry's absolutely correct. This is a merchandise machine. This is a franchise project. This is a story that needs to be told. It's a new twist on the superhero genre. And I think Larry was absolutely right. So I took a couple steps back and said, let's do this. I started doing the drawings and things, and but I absolutely needed Larry. I really wouldn't have been able to pull this off without him. So, yeah, that's why two into one, whatever. Yeah, we're working.
Were there any like close calls where you thought like, man, I'm getting so fed up with my brother, either side of you?
I can't imagine that happening. Really, I mean that almost sounds like I'm being facetious, but no, we've always gotten along, and of course
we have two different styles.
Different styles, and I think we respect those styles. Now, of course, this is coming from me. I'm the bigger brother. I think big brothers have a lot to answer for, because a lot of times big brothers, they do things, they say things, and they don't mean it, or they don't understand the role that they're playing for their sibling. But from my perspective, I have never noticed any friction between the two of us, and And I could extend that to our huge family. We have there's six of us, and it's fortunate that so far we've all gotten along very well.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the reason it works, I'll tell you what, all of us are like this, and this is just occurring to me as we're talking about this. So, Lancer, thanks for asking the question. I think that in a way we are all insular. We had to be, because we were this big family growing up in Philadelphia, small house. We had to find ways to set up boundaries, right? And so we did that, and we respected each other's boundaries, because otherwise it would be battle every day. And so when Chris works, he works, and then he gets something just right, and then he shows it to me. And then I'm the same way, maybe even more so, because I've never been a writer who has networked or workshopped my stories. They've always been things that I want to have finished before I submit them, because I believe that you can only see something for the first time. You only get one chance to make a first impression. And when my brothers, my friends, people I've never met before, when they read a story, they're reading it for the first time. Nobody out there in my world has seen this story evolve. Nobody's seen my mistakes, unless I publish them, of course, then everybody sees them. But this is really the way that I like to work. And so when I took Chris's very nicely developed portfolio, and we sat until the evening on that day at the bistro, and we threw out ideas, and then I took everything and I went home and worked for about 4 months and got it where I wanted it, and then I showed it to Chris. And that's how we work, and that seems to be a great way not only to collaborate, it's also a great way to keep the peace.
Nice, nice. Do you agree with that, Christopher?
Yes, yes. And as I say, I think it comes down to respect. Larry's always been very complimentary to me. He's always been a, you know, cheerleader in a way, as we all are with each other, each one of our siblings. We all admire each one of us and what we were able to do. So, no, I think it works out well. Yeah.
Wow, you guys are a great supporting family. I love it. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you with the headphones on who are listening to Sci-Fi Thoughts. You've been listening to the show for a while. You must be enjoying it because you keep coming back. Well, hey, help me out. Tell your friends, your family, other people who would like to listen to Sci-Fi Thoughts, give me a hand. Help me grow the show. So go ahead and right now, just send a text message, write an email, turn around and talk to the person next to you and tell them about Sci-Fi Thoughts. They can find us via Google, or they could type in scifithoughts.space. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and you know what? There's more value to be had. There are show notes, because within those show notes are links to details that we talk about, maybe definitions and taxonomy, all kinds of extra geeky things that you will enjoy if you enjoyed this episode. How do you get to the show notes? They show up right in your podcast player. Just click on Sci-Fi Thoughts and you will see the show notes there. If you happen to download the MP3 from a website, go back to the website where you got this MP3, and there you will see the show notes. Next episode, more from Lawrence and Christopher Connolly.
There was a time when I was training, and I was there was a Russian coach, an Olympic coach, that said to me, Chris, you have to train for 27-second burst. Train for the burst and recover, burst and recover. And when you're wrestling or doing any sports, even though you're recovering, you're still in motion. You're still moving. You're still, you know. So with that premise, and with some of the other things I was doing, with some of the, you know, the reason for the story with the wounded warriors and things coming back, I thought, well, wouldn't this be a pretty cool concept? We've got brothers and sisters of war coming back. They suddenly have this treatment to cure their disability, and this disability is cured, but what cures them also goes rogue on them a bit. And it's the 1-minute burst.